the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018. I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day.
And I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And we're best friends.
Hi, Joss.
Hi, Kristen.
How are you?
I'm good.
I'm so excited about this week's episode, playing the victim card.
Yay!
I think everybody is going to be able to relate to this situation.
Absolutely.
But first, we have a letter
that we couldn't resist reading.
It has nothing to do with playing the victim card.
But it's too good.
It's too good not to hear. So,
without further ado. Dear ladies, a friend said she knew a guy just perfect for me. Catalina,
not her real name,
asked if she could pass along my phone number. I said, sure, give him my number. He called. He introduced himself as Luigi,
not his real name.
We started talking, and he was very charming and very funny. We talked for almost an hour. He asked me out to a nice restaurant. I gotta admit, I was rather excited. On my way to bed that night, I looked in the mirror and said, you've still got it. Yay.
Atta girl.
He described himself as a tall, thin, bald white guy who kind of looks like a roll-on deodorant. I loved that. Thought his self-deprecating humor was great. I got ready for my date. My friends helped me pick out something sexy but not slutty. I get to the restaurant on Friday. On time, looking smoking without looking like I tried too hard. Luigi was there, on time, looking handsome and GQ-ish. Yay!
Yay!
We sat down, started talking easily, like old friends with new interesting info. Lovely. The waiter came, he ordered us wine, then we discussed the menu. He was smooth, not oily, always a plus, just cool and confident. Again, yay. We ordered, we chatted, the salad was served, and Luigi said he just needed to lay it all out there for me. While eating a bite of Caesar salad, he calmly said he has herpes. No big thing, he's on medication. The longer you've had the virus, the less frequent the outbreaks become, and with his medicine, he rarely had a cycle. I'm gobsmacked. I don't know what to say. My chin is resting on the tablecloth, and my fork and right hand are just sort of hovering about 4 inches from my mouth. I look him right in the eyes and say, salad, you tell me this during the salad. This is dessert conversation. Chocolate dessert conversation, and only if it was a great date. Why would you mention this now over the Caesar salad? He said he thought I should know right up front, no hiding anything. I told him that I thought his admission over the first course was ill-timed and freaked me out. Then I asked why he told me so soon. He said he was hoping I'd invite him to my house for dessert that night. Chicka chicka bow wow. And he respects women too much to be dishonest. Yeah, okay. You respect me, but think you're going to get laid after our first blind date? He assured me I was adorable and he would definitely call me. I told him I needed time to process his information. I drove home, opened some wine. I called Catalina. How could she set me up with him? He was charming, but arrogant, and he has herpes, which he shared over the salad. 10 minutes into our date, he tells me he has herpes. Catalina said, he has what? I explain about the herpes and the medication and the assumption that I'd sleep with him after the very expensive meal, blah, blah, blah. So arrogant to think he'd get laid after the first date. Doesn't even get to know you before dropping the herpes bomb. That's when Catalina said, he's my brother. Oops. Didn't see that coming. I apologize for letting the virus out of the bag and hurriedly ended the call.
Yes.
Sunday comes. I go to church. I say hello to Catalina, but she doesn't want to see me or talk to me. She said hi and then moved away. Okay, no biggie. Then it happens again every Sunday for a whole month. I finally confronted her and asked, what's up? She said, "We are no longer friends because of my rude, judgmental treatment of her wonderful, successful lawyer brother. I just looked at her and said, don't forget virus riddled and tossing out when you're tossing out those adjectives." Here's the thing. Luigi called me back. We talked. I told him he was great, but he wasn't great for me. We kept talking. He was funny. I wished him well. Whenever I do run into him, I rush over and say, "Hey, Salad, what's up? Good to see you again." But Catalina still gives me the stink eye. So am I the crappy friend, or is Catalina? Would love to know what you think. Signed, I might be a crappy friend.
That is the best letter ever. So much fun. So, our response first is kudos, Luigi, for telling her up front and being so forthright. You didn't waste your time, and you really enjoyed the meal. And, you know, might be a crappy friend. Unfortunately, herpes is a common reality today, and you don't know how he got it. He could have been infected by someone who chose not to tell him that she had it, so we just don't know. The ladies quite like his forthright ways, you know? I do think that what you're really mad about is the assumption that he was going to get a little sum-sum right after the first date.
Right.
You know? But as for Catalina...
She definitely should have told you that they were related. This was her brother. How did she forget to mention,
I want to fix it with my brother?
Yeah.
So, I mean, what if it wasn't anything to do with herpes? What if you hated how he smelled and he, you know, he was a jerk? Then she'd still be mad at you.
Right.
And I just think it was a little weird to keep that a secret.
I agree.
And you can't be blamed for letting the cat out of the bag.
Yeah.
You know? She feels protective of him, sure. And maybe she feels like you should give him a little credit for his honesty, which we ladies tend to agree with. Do we not, Joss?
Yeah, I like him a lot, especially that he calls himself a roll-on deodorant. Yeah. I think that's hilarious.
Yeah.
And herpes is not a death sentence.
Right.
It's inconvenient. It's not as if he said he had some real terminal disease, you know?
Right.
It's just an inconvenience.
Yeah. So I do think Catalina could have told you up front, and then you would have been more measured in what you said about the date. So I do think she kind of set you up.
Right.
And now on to a different kind of friend. We are talking about playing the victim card, and I am super pleased to introduce our amazing guest, Dr. Khaleesi.
Not her real name.
The unfazed. Breaker of bad habits, queen of the feels, mother of sons. Please welcome Dr. Khaleesi.
Hi, everyone.
So happy to have you here. So we're talking today about the kind of friend who seems like a good person. She has her moments. She has her qualities. She's not a toxic friend in the traditional sense of the world. She's not mean. Mm-hmm. She's quite nice, perhaps, except... she has the worst luck in the universe. And now that you're her friend, you find how much she needs you. A lot. All the time, every day. There aren't enough hours in the day that you can give her. She calls you 3 times a day, texts you. You know, what happened to her?
Right.
So much.
A lot.
Everything.
Terrible luck, horrible childhood, wretched relationships, sickness, accidents, bad jobs, bad friends, bad families. And while your antenna starts to twitch, you can't really disprove anything.
Right. You know, maybe she did have surgery that went wrong and still causes issues, low these many years. Maybe she was stalked by Neil Patrick Harris. Maybe her parents, who seemed so nice at her 40th birthday party, did indeed lock her in the cellar and force her to hand wash their underwear while all the other kids got to ride ponies and eat ice cream. But as for her life today...
Sigh.
Not going so well.
It's not happy. It's sad. You offer her suggestions for improvement, but there always seems some reason why she can't take those suggestions.
Right. She doesn't have enough time, doesn't have enough money. She's very tired.
Yes.
So many people need her.
Yes. But she keeps asking for help, and you keep banging your head against that brick wall.
Right. Sometimes... she says it feels like she's cursed. The universe has it in for her. All these other people don't have it nearly as bad as she does. And she never realizes that perhaps her life is due to the choices that she's made. And God forbid you point that out to her. Because she's a broken record. She has an excuse for every time she picked the wrong person to love, took the crappy job, didn't speak up to her boss, was misdiagnosed, you know, and still goes to visit those abusive parents. Now, I do want to say, this is not saying that bad things don't happen to people.
That's true. It's how they affect people that matters.
Right. We have a good friend who's had a very colorful life.
True.
A lot of big challenges and kind of out there events. And she could play the victim card.
She could.
But she doesn't.
No, she's really sort of really self-deprecating and very, like, in a really good space about all of these things that have happened to her.
And often, like, when she'll tell us a story, she'll laugh at it.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And she's really over it. She's dealt with it and put it in its proper place.
Right.
So, one of the things, we made this list for you, Dr. Khaleesi, we see some signs. And the first is a failure to take responsibility for choices.
Yeah.
What about that?
Well, I mean, this is, this, you know, as you guys were saying, it's like the universe has done this to me rather than that I have power to make changes. Because as you guys know, the same exact thing can happen to two people, and for one person it's, you know, it's a funny story, and for somebody else it's more proof, more evidence that things are unfair.
There's like,
and I think we see that.
Yeah, a victim versus a survivor, right?
Yeah. What kind of t-shirt do you get?
Yeah. Number two?
Is self-pity, the woe is me card.
Yeah.
It's always, something's always gone wrong, woe is me. Can't ever do anything right. Nothing ever good happens to me.
And number three is comparing yourself with others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that happens a lot. It's, you know, like you were saying, the kind of like, yes, but in my case, it was really bad.
Right.
You know, that the glass is always half empty, drained, and perhaps broken.
Yeah.
Right.
And it was a smaller cup to start with.
Right. And rather than filling that cup up with wine, you know, she steps on it and cuts her foot. Number five, they speak for large groups of people in order to kind of normalize their responses. So, for example, like, she might say, you know, well, sexual assault survivors always feel vulnerable, which I can say as a survivor ain't true.
Right.
I'm kind of a badass.
Yeah.
And, you know, lived through that because of badassery, more an attitude than anything else. And then the last sign that is perhaps the most difficult as a friend is they never find fault with themselves.
Right.
Which is like this interesting paradox of woe is me.
Right.
And yet I'm kind of a saint.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Murdering.
So when that makes it really hard to move anywhere, if it's not your fault and things are happening just to you, then you don't have any power to change anything. And so every suggestion that anybody gives you is, you know, of course not going to work because nothing works. And
it's the universe that needs to change.
Everything else has to change.
That's a big order.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Hey, universe.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's also a, like, there's almost like a, like, this is preordained. I'm, like, almost there, like, people can become involved in their identity as someone who bad things happen to.
Right.
You know, like, I have terrible luck. A globalization of small events, and all the, like, any event that happened goes into the evidence bag of the world is unfair to me.
Right.
I like that. Yeah. Globalization of small events. This is why Khaleesi is here with us today.
See? That's right.
That.
I just might have used all my vocabulary words now, but...
So as the friend of the victim card... you know, one of the things is she always needs favors, and if you have to say no, which is something that we all need to learn to do, I think, as women, is say no when you can't. If you have other commitments, if you're busy, if you're, you know, you just don't want to, this friend becomes wounded, lonely, sad, even more tragic. And then when you are together, it's a very one-sided thing. You know, it's her issues. You might say, oh yeah, I've been going through a really rough patch lately. And she'll say, let me tell you.
You're right.
Right. Mm. But you're still in it, right? You're still in this friendship. And why, Joss?
Because you don't know how to get out of it. That's... like women do. We linger. Or you just don't want to be mean. You think getting out of it would be too mean, so you linger right. in it.
And she's not a horrible person. No. She's just, you know, that Debbie Downer character from right. Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
And then you feel guilty. I think, like, your act is more together, perhaps.
Right.
There's a ton of reasons you might feel guilty.
Yeah.
Like what? So, okay, so... yeah, your life is okay.
Yeah.
You know, or you feel positive, or you feel good about things. So you might feel that way, or there might be some, you know, a real thing, like it's very sad that she happened. But also, I think we feel guilty about our reactions. Like, when you start feeling resentful, and then you feel guilty. But also because we have a narrative, like we should be good friends.
Yeah.
Friends don't abandon each other. Right. Friends to thick and thin, you know, all the things like...
Friends to the grave.
Friends to the grave, besties for life, right. all the things we promised each other in middle school.
Yeah. Right. Right. I still have those friendship bracelets that Beth and I made for each other.
Right.
Beth, I love you.
Right, and it's hard to remember that you also get to be protected.
You know? Right. And, you know, I also think, and, you know, this is an honest admission, maybe you're still in it because a little part of you likes feeling kind of more in control, more capable compared to her, you know? So you get a little ego trip off of, like, oh, I will come and help you, tragic friend.
I am, in air quotes, a good person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who does... Right. You know, air quotes again. You guys can't see this, but trust me, I'm doing them.
We love air quotes.
Air quotes, because I'm good. We like to be good.
Yeah. And then, I know, personally, I think, like, it's not that harmful, because I know this is just how she is, but it's exhausting.
Yeah.
You know, it's exhausting. Yeah. I think, like, it's not like she's really damaging me, you know, like we've talked about in other episodes, like, being really hurtful. It's just kind of this drain, you know, but then I justify that by saying, well, you know, what's it going to cost me to do this?
Right. I always think, for my part, I just, the idea that I feel manipulated by her, like everything bad happens to her.
Yes.
But at the same time, it's true. There, she has her little evidence bag, as you mentioned before.
Right.
And so I have to think to myself, she's not doing this on purpose. She's not trying to manipulate me into doing what she needs me to do on purpose. She really does have all these problems.
Yeah. Yeah. But sometimes we still feel played.
Yes.
Somehow.
So you go back and forth a lot with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, again, you know, guilt and I go hand in hand. So we say, you know what? Everybody needs their friends sometimes.
Right.
And isn't this what friends are for? And what kind of a person would I be if I distanced myself from her when she's going through this terrible time? And, you know, one of the things I do notice is that when I'm going through a terrible time, the victim card friend is not usually the one who shows up.
Right.
Of course not.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Dr. Khaleesi, talk to us about why we're such idiots and why we lack the backbone to just kind of tell it how it is.
All right. So, first disclaimer is that when I'm wearing my psychologist hat, it's very clear to me, you know, how you know, if someone's sitting in my office and they're talking to me about this, I can say, like, honey, you know, except I don't usually say honey. but I can see it, you know, really easily. On the other hand, when it's me, you know, I'll get off the phone and be like, you know, this again.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So so my disclaimer is that, you know, while I am a psychologist, in my real life, I tend to fall into this as well. And
Thank
I don't
God.
Know how to get out
yeah.
of it.
It's
and
so
I don't
reassuring.
Know how to
that
fix
is
it.
Reassuring.
Yeah. So one of the things, though, that I think about is, like, what's my narrative about how I'm supposed to be a friend? And I think, you know, like, for me personally, I have had really great friends, like you were just talking about, who've who have been there for me at times when I was, you know, really hurting or really down or really sad.
Did any of your friends ever say, bring you cookies in the hospital?
Oh, you know, not mentioning any names, but my friend Katie, who's a best-selling author, not her real name. Might have brought me delicious, still warm cookies when I was in the emergency room. And let me just say this slowly so you hear it. On more than one occasion. So, that's the kind of thing. So, you know, something that one friend does, it's almost like it builds up a friend debt.
Yeah.
You know, that I then feel like I have to pay off in some way.
You do have to bake for me. I'm just saying.
Okay. Good to know. Good to know. But I think there's also this idea that we have is like, you know, our shoulds.
Yeah.
This is what, you know, the sort of the TV books storyline that we have, that friends are there for each other.
Right.
No matter what.
No matter what.
And that's like almost self-harming when
it absolutely is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think sometimes too, it's hard for us to, you know, look at it and say like, okay, is this a reciprocal relationship?
Yeah.
Is this something where, you know, is this good for you to be in this relationship? And if so, to what degree?
Right.
You know, what's your expectation to get back?
Say you've been, I mean, in a lot of cases, this is a slow buildup. Mm. You know, someone doesn't just present saying, can you do all these things for me? I'll never reciprocate. But, you know, so you're in the friendship for, you know, months, years, decades. And you know how this person is. And sometimes my feeling is it's just easier to deal than to break up or and then so it doesn't solve anything. You're still being slowly drained, you know. And I look at my 76-year-old mother and she has the same problems.
Right. My mother too. Yeah. My mother too just came out from a trip with the same thing where somebody was you know, clearly doing more of the taking and less of the giving.
Yeah.
But also that same thing of like, you know, when there was one thing that, you know, after giving and giving so much, there was one thing that she, you know, didn't notice or couldn't do, and it was like, you know, all of a sudden my mother was the worst friend she'd ever had.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
You know, but that might be another episode. Yeah, it's I mean, one of the things that's so hard is just how guilty and bad we feel when we're not being bad friends.
Right.
In fact, we're doing more of the giving.
Right.
And I don't know about you guys, but I'm still surprised when people don't reciprocate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because you think you're modeling this great behavior. Right. So even if it happens one time, two times, three times, you keep doing it because you think, if I just show them that I can be a good friend, then they'll see how to do it.
Right.
And reciprocate, finally.
And it never happens, does it?
Never.
But I mean, I bet we could
each name... surprising.
We could each name five times in our life when we've had a friend like that. And chances are, you know, they're still on our Christmas card list, you know?
Sure.
But, I mean, one of the things that I find, too, is that a victim card friend is very smart. You know, they're very manipulative in a very smart way. And I remember one such friend saying something like, you know, a lot of people can't handle a friend who's, let's say, you know, a sexual assault survivor.
Right.
They can't handle the fact that this happened to me. So they walk away, you know, and
then you don't want to be that person.
Right.
So
she set you up.
Yeah. Right. You're like, well, I'm better than that.
Yeah.
I am a much better person.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, can you give us some vocabulary, some phrases?
Oh, yeah.
Like, do you think it's worth ditching this kind of friend? Or do you
know,
suck it up, buttercup?
I think, yes, both.
Oh.
I know. But, you know, if it was easy, you guys would already done it. You know, we all would have. But I think what we think, what I talk about in my office and what I try to practice and probably should get better at is figuring out what I can give freely with no expectation and no resentment. And then I just give that much and I try to boundary it. Like, I can give, you know, an hour and a half this week, and that's it. I'm done.
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe it's this month, or right. maybe it's an hour and a half this year. But you right. have to kind of figure out where your line is, where you're not going to feel resentment.
Yeah.
You know? The other thing is, you know, the most, like, you know, depending on what the friendship is and what it means, there's, you can talk to somebody and say, you know, hey, it seems like, you know, I get frustrated when I do lots of things for you, but then when I need help, it seems like it's hard for you to be helpful to me, or it's hard for you to give that back to me.
Have you ever had that conversation, Gracie?
I have.
And how successful were you?
I have. Moderately.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it made a big difference short term, and then it kind of like drifted back to the old things.
Right.
So, you know, for a couple of weeks, the friend was like, oh, and tell me about your things.
Right.
How
right.
are you today? But, you know, with this friend, it was a combination of victim card and like, a lot of times it seemed like she would wait for me to finish so she could start talking about
yeah.
herself.
Right.
Yeah.
And it would be like, sometimes her tangent or like her bridging was, you know, less.
Right.
And as writers, you would not have been impressed. It was sort of like, yeah, so I understand that your leg is broken.
Mm-hmm.
I used my leg today when I watched that kind of a story.
Right,
you know,
right.
Like she was trying,
yeah,
but right. not that hard.
Yeah.
So,
I think, you know, do you think it would be fair to say that people who play the victim card regularly have a lack of empathy?
Hmm. I would say it's fair to say that they have a self-focus,
mm-hmm.
you know, that maybe doesn't leave them a lot of room for hearing other things. Because I've seen people be kind of victim-y when they're really anxious
mm-hmm.
or
yeah.
really depressed. And I wouldn't say they lack empathy, but they're so self-focused
mm-hmm.
that they don't notice a lot of other things going on.
Yeah.
How conscious are they of this behavior? Like, do they realize, I can behave this way with Kristen because she'll fall for it every time. But I can't do it with my husband because he checks me hard. Is it that conscious, or
I don't think it's that conscious.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it's like a worldview.
Oh
yeah.
You know, where it's like bad things happen to me and they're worse than the things that happen to other
yeah.
people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think they feel like they're doing that to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's why sometimes it works to talk to somebody about it, because
mm-hmm.
they might just be like, huh, I do talk yeah. about myself a lot.
Right.
Now,
you know?
I do want to distinguish between, like, playing the victim card, but also, like, being an actual victim of really shitty circumstances. You know,
yeah.
like, we have all had friends who have been sick or who have, you know, been in dire straits, and they really needed friends, and for that kind of thing, it's absolutely no skin off my back to
mm-hmm.
show up,
right.
you know, and do whatever I can for a time,
mm-hmm.
you know, for
mm-hmm.
a problem, right. an issue,
right.
whether it's like, I will be the shoulder that you cry on after you break up with your boyfriend, or you're very sick and I will make meals for you and vacuum your house or something, but it's sort of the eternal need.
Yeah, the perpetual
mm-hmm.
victim.
Yeah.
Who won't take help. You know, you offer help, you offer
right.
comfort, but there's no comforting.
Yeah.
There's no help. They're like,
you wonder, like, what they're looking for.
Right.
Mm.
You know, what?
I mean,
what
I have great ideas.
What
is great idea?
It should work.
Come on.
Try this.
Will work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you wonder, like, what? So what are you getting out of the friendship if you're that victim card person? Like, you know, your friend is sitting there saying, well, you know, when I was in a similar situation, I tried, you know, yoga and it really helped. Or I tried eating a lot of Hershey nuggets and that did help, you know.
Right. Which does help.
Really, especially with almonds. You know, and the person just like, no, that can't, you know, I never. So, like, you just wonder, like, what are you getting out of being with me?
Mm-hmm.
You
yeah.
know, like, I'm clearly not helping at all.
Right. And I think the thing that changes is we feel helpless.
Yeah.
Like, well, what do you want? Like, what can I do then?
Right.
I don't know. I don't know if there's anything that you could do. Just listen. I don't know if anybody could. Well, so we try that. You listen.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's the best thing, is just to, you know, come. It just sounds like you're so stuck. It just sounds so hard for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes if people get that enough,
mm-hmm.
it works. But sometimes it feels like, I mean, as the friend of someone who's playing the victim card, sometimes it feels like you're just a warm body.
Yes. Yeah. I was going to say, your presence is superfluous.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's almost like emotionally masturbatory.
Emotionally masturbatory.
There you go. That's my second phrase.
Dr. Felice. Love that.
Yeah. Because it's like you're not, it could be anybody
right.
in yeah. that spot. Right. Because yeah. nothing you're saying is getting through. It's right. like.
Yeah. And again, like
you're just
the friend who needs to vent and get yeah. it off their chest.
Right.
Right.
There should be a point at which it is off the chest.
Right.
Right.
You know, and you're like,
yeah.
thank you for listening. I've done that with both of you, actually.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
especially you, Joss.
Thank you.
I think I sent you a text rant yesterday yes. when I'm like, blah, blah, blah. That's it. That was my rant. Right. I'm done.
Yes.
Yeah. And you just, you know, you just need to complain yeah. and be upset. And then hopefully you're done.
Yeah.
You know, so check me if I ever like bring it up again and start hanging myself with my misery.
Right.
Say, it seems like you're really stuck. And right, that will yeah. be like our code for snap out of it, bitch.
Yeah. You know, that actually reminds me. A thing that you can try sometimes works, doesn't always, depends on how, you know, invested they are in this. But sometimes you can say, so what's your plan?
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. Oh,
that's a good one.
I'm going to write that
because
down.
It takes it off of you. Like right. you keep offering suggestions.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, so yeah. you seem like you've been really down. So what's your plan?
Yeah.
Then it also frees us of our responsibility for mm-hmm. their feelings, yeah. which is where we set, you know, we need to set boundaries. We're yeah. not responsible for how they feel.
Right.
We're just responsible for us.
That's you know? Really interesting.
I like that.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Khaleesi. Oh,
thank you for having me.
It's been a pleasure.
It's been wonderful.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to Crappy Friends on iTunes and consider leaving us a review. Email us your friend stories at theladies@crappyfriends.net.
I'm Joss Day.
And I'm Kristen Higgins.
And we're best friends. Forever.